All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Good evening. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. This week we've been talking about EMP quite a bit, and I'm sure I've bored many of you to death with reading scrupulous amounts of EMP commission forms, but please go out and check out that form, empcommission.org. I want you to understand the type of information that's been sent to the government, the type of information that's been ignored by the government. And, you know, I've spoken exhaustively about this, and I've done just tremendous amounts of research at it, and I'm about at the point where I'm going to stab myself in the eyes with my pen if I keep writing stuff about Grid Down. There are so many different scenarios and so many different versions of how we can lose power, but I want to share with you a little story today. A good friend of mine named AJ, who I'm eventually going to bring on the show, he's a former Detroit cop, great guy, great stories. I think you'll really enjoy some of his experiences, but he was working today, and he told me, you know, it's really interesting that I've been talking about EMP and preparedness and Grid Down, because today a lady hit a phone pole with her car and knocked out the power for the area that he is currently working in. And he works in construction now. And what's interesting is he said, you know, our table saws, our power tools, the lights, he said, man, everything that we needed for the power that we use completely went off, and we were reverted to flashlights and hand tools. And it sucked because you don't use them very much. You don't use a wood saw very much when you have a circular saw in your hand. You can just bang, go right through the 2x4 and be done with it. He said, you know, I think it's interesting that you've been talking about all this, and I've been listening, and wow, it happened to me today. Lost power for a couple hours, and we did not have an answer for how to continue with the construction that they were doing. I don't want to talk about the movie set that they're on, but he's doing construction on a movie set. And I just laughed, like, wow, look at that. It happened. Bam, just like that. Something as simple and as natural as a car running into a light pole, taking out the power for, you know, several hours, and it inconvenienced you. Imagine, if you will, if that happened in a cascading event all the way across the country, even if it wasn't in from the West Coast to East Coast, just imagine if it was just your area that was affected for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month or more. What do you have in plan and in store to circumvent that? Do you have the preparations? Do you have the tools? Do you have the necessary equipment? Do you have a generator with extra, you know, cans of gas, diesel, or however it is that it's filled by propane or what? There are a couple things out there that are reliable power sources for your home. Solar panels are good to an extent. They can be kind of finicky, cost a lot of money, and you have to do a lot of wiring. You got to know a little bit of science, and you got to set it up to a battery bank. A lot of people don't have the money for this, and I don't have the money for that. You know, we're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to get this type of system set up that your home can run off solar, and you can also use other appliances, and it doesn't drain the batteries. And the batteries are really the most significant part of that. And I have really no experience with solar panels. I have very limited experience with solar panels. I stick to my bushcraft style skills of learning how to make a fire and cook things over a fire, and learning how to, you know, warm myself through the woodsman's knowledge and not so much technology. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and if you know me, you'd laugh when you say that. I don't know the ins and outs of solar panels and that technology. I do strongly suggest it if you have the ability within your own home or within a community to have a house or a secondary dwelling on your home that you can set up to have its own infrastructure, that it has a solar panels, a battery bank, it has a generator that can be used for a certain amount of time, it has large amounts of water and food that's stored, even to the point that it has a shower that's installed that, you know, uses water that you purify to pour through the shower, or to have a kitchen that's that way. You know, there are ways that you can circumvent losing power and not completely have to live in misery. But do you have the time? Do you have the money? Do you even care to have the effort to go through with all that? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, most people don't. And it's because it doesn't capture the imagination enough for most people to be worried about that. People always buy batteries for their flashlights. You want your flashlight. But have you ever thought about buying 2 or 3 years worth of batteries? Just saying. Everyone wants to have a gun, but have you thought about having the skills and the proper training needed to adequately use that firearm to protect your life? Just saying. There are skills and there are technology. You need to have the proper amount of skills in case the technology fails. Technology will always inherently fail. Your skills that are locked inside your brain housing group will not fail you if you practice them enough. Man has survived for thousands and thousands of years without technology. You will not lose the civilization if we lose technology, but we will lose a large amount of it because people don't know how to adapt to really bad environments right now. You know, people are morbidly obese in this country. I was, you know, talking with a good friend of mine a while ago, Tim Alberino, and he's writing a new book. He said it's going to be really funny when more people die from diabetes than they die from the apocalypse. So, yeah, you know, you're onto something there. And I've said this before, and I don't care if I hurt your feelings when I say this, but I'm saying it with the utmost care for you. If you are out of shape and you want to put a couple extra years on your life, you want to have a better quality of life, you want to stop going to the doctor so much, you want to prepare for the apocalypse and every other bad thing that could happen in this world, get up and get in shape. You can go for a walk. You can jump rope. You can do push-ups. You can go swimming. You can go biking, rollerblading if that's what you want to do. There's all different types of exercises that you can get out and do. I strongly encourage agility training, strength training, some form of martial arts that involves grappling and striking. Beyond that, if you want to get into firearms training, highly recommend that. But also, get into gardening. Learn how to weld. Learn how to do some carpentry skills. Learn something more than how to text on your phone. Learn something more than how to take today's nicest looking selfie. all you people who are so sucked in to this dang phone, you're not helping yourself. You're not helping America. You are literally indulging in your selfishness, and you need to get out of it. Get out of this phone. This phone is doing exactly what it was made to do, to capture your audience. It is. You see kids walking around with this phone, and very rarely do they look straight, forward, left or right. They don't even see their flanks. There's no situational awareness. And I can't tell you how many times, as being a police officer, I saw people walk into the road and almost get hit by a car because they're on their phone. I don't want to be there to smear you off of the ground because you were too busy texting or playing a video game or watching today's coolest video of how a dog walked backwards. I don't care. Get out of your phone. Do something that makes your mind think. Paint. Draw. Put Legos together. I don't care. Do something that makes the creative part of your mind work. That part of your mind is what is also going to help you survive when you don't have these instruments around you anymore. When your microwave doesn't work. Your dishwasher doesn't work. Whenever the freezer's going bad. How are you going to take what is frozen and preserve it? Salt, sugar, smoking. There are books out there. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, you can go to something so simple as Amazon and find survival books, cooking books, food preservation books. There's so much knowledge that's out there. You just have to buy it and read it. And there's an epidemic of not reading in this country. We need to get back to it. You need to get back to learning how to process words on a page and not listen to it on your phone or not text on your phone. So, to the point that you can't have a conversation with people. I get so frustrated by this. And especially for men. Now, my target audience, this is questionable, but my target audience is people who are very serious about prepping, people who are military veterans, first responders, the mom and dads that are stay at home, the homesteaders, the farmers, the ranchers, the everyday American patriot that makes this country run, from the construction worker, the refinery worker, every part of America. Every fabric of America that makes us great. That's my target audience, because that audience is going to be the same people who are going to be there to deal with the Russians and the Chinese when they invade, or the next civil war, or the next grid down scenario, or whatever cataclysmic event is going to happen. You people listening are going to be involved. You don't live in a bubble. Ask the people during Hurricane Katrina that lived in a bubble. They floated down the river. Take your survival very, very seriously. For all you men out there, I want you to hear me. I want you to get back to the art of manliness. I want you to rediscover what it means to really be a man. Because we have so many effeminate men in this country. We have so many men now who don't even have calluses on their hands. You are not going to survive an extremely bad apocalypse. You're not going to survive the really, really bad crisis scenario, whatever you want to call it. Because you forgot what it meant to be a man. The gift that God gave you. Your manliness, that tough alpha maleness. People call it toxic now. Or your mansplaining because you sit with your legs open. That culture, that entire culture, it needs to die. It needs to completely die off. The whole woe is me or you're hurting my feelings woke culture. You people suck at life. You need to go away. Go start your own woe is me island. I implore you, go and take over Antarctica. Take your new green plan and your build back better plan. Take your endless immigration plan and go and fight off the polar bears and wherever they're at and the penguins. Go out there with them. Go repopulate some island that is being consumed by a volcano, because your science and your technology is going to save yourself from the volcano. Go over there and do all that crazy, unpatriotic, un-American, unholy stuff there. You're killing our country. You're killing the future of our children. You're emasculating men. You're turning women into men. And then we have this weird, fantastical creature that's in between a man and a woman, and they don't know what they are. I've been told it. I've been told at some of these lovely protests and riots that I've been at in Portland, and I keep talking about Portland. I say Portland because Portland's the weirdest place I've been to in America. It's a beautiful city. It's a city of bridges. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. Love the mountains. Love the tall pines. Freaking elk the size of cows. It's a cool area. But my goodness, do the people suck in Portland, Oregon. Not everybody. We had a few people who supported us. But the general amount of people who are on the streets were your dysfunctional, the outcast of society that no one really wants. They don't want the degradation. They don't want the people that are violent criminals and pedophiles. A prolific amount of pedophiles in Antifa, thank you very much. A prolific amount of arsonists or some form of anarchists, terrorists, whatever, the Marxists, whatever they want to call themselves. You people suck. You were the weirdest people I've ever met in my life. I had a young lady in 2018 who, in front of the ICE facility that's on McAdam Street in Portland, was standing there shirtless, a young woman, shirtless, in cargo shorts, and she was white. She had blue hair, or she had a blue streak in her hair. The rest of her head was shaved. Big old hoops in her ears and her nose and her face. And, black jungle-style combat boots, sitting there in front of me and a whole other line of professional law enforcement officers doing, immoral things in front of us, saying, "Don't stare at my breast because I'm not a woman." And I was so confused by what I was looking at. And then this same creature who says, "You're not a woman, but you're not a man, you're a gender neutral, and then she described herself as some sort of an alien creature. I had to just take myself and walk backwards and shake my head and just say, this is not real. This is not America. This is not the country that defeated the Nazi Empire. This is not the country that conquered the Wild Wild West. What is happening, America? Why are you letting these type of people that have never been accepted in society or have never really attributed to society take over our way of life to the point that we excuse the violent crime? We excuse the mass panic and the fear and the terrorism. We give them more excuses than we apply laws against them. And when we would arrest them, guess what would happen? Bam. Within an hour, they're back on the street. Yippee, hooray, Susie's back. Susie would be like a 6'4" guy wearing a tutu. I'm beside myself right now. I do apologize. We need to get back to being rough and tough. At the end of the day, you can have all these great skills. You can have all these really good books, all the information I've given you. You can have all the technological advances and all the guns. You can have all the gold, all the food. But if it's not in your heart to defend it, then you might as well just create a grocery store at your house. We're going to go to a break. We're going to talk about this right after.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. and sadly they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes, precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
And we're back. Please visit stevequayle.com. Please support him and his site, the True Legends movies that he's done, the conferences that he's done. Please visit his precious metal site. Steve has a lot of great information out there. He's a very patriotic person. He has helped a tremendous amount of people come to the Lord. So, please visit his site, support what he does. On to our subject for the day. This is American Vindicta. And right now, you're going to hear the vindicta in my voice. You're going to hear a little bit of the anger in my voice, a little bit of my aggression that may scare some of you. It may turn some of you off from what I say. But hear me out. Let's go to the future. Follow me. We're going to take a winding path down the dystopian future that is America. I want you to put yourself in a city that doesn't have any power to it. There's fire in the streets, screaming in the background. There's no police sirens. There's no firefighters putting out the fires. There's roving bands of criminals terrorizing people, raping people, killing people, kidnapping people, breaking in from store to home to apartment. Homeless people have now since left and probably are now living in the woods like hermits because they at least had the sense to get out. And you have people who are huddled together somewhere in their apartment or in their condo or in their home, scared. They don't know what to do. They don't have an answer for the crime. They don't have an answer for the blackout. They don't have an answer for the lack of food. They don't know why their water isn't turned on. They've already ate everything that's in the refrigerator, but there's no electricity to cook the food. What do you do? What's your plan of action? If you let yourself fail so bad that you don't have a plan of action for when a crisis comes, do you run, do you hide, or do you fight? Or do you cower? America is not a nation of cowards. We have never been known for that. We've been known for our rugged individualism. We've been known for our aggressive international posture. We're known for our great ingenuity. We're known for our camaraderie as people who believe in a free nation, one nation, under God. But now that's all been taken away. You have people who no longer love God. You have people who worship Baphomet openly. You have a Congress that keeps allowing the murder of innocent children. We have no borders. We don't really enforce the law. We have a government that's come after its own individuals because they dare speak out against that government. And then, bam, power goes out. And all that craziness I just talked about is still there. It's still alive. And if anything, it's going to get expounded upon as people start to go into their own state of psychosis when they start to smoke all their cigarettes. They don't have any more tobacco. They don't have any more alcohol. They can't find any more cocaine or heroin or meth. fentanyl's all ran out. What's the next high? What's the next adrenaline rush? Is it going to be rampant crime? Is it going to be violent outbursts because these people are losing their mind because they don't have the drugs to control them, to zombify them, or to help those sinful urges that want them to lash out and hurt people? They don't have an answer for that because there's no more psychotic medication being given to them, or antipsychotics. What happens to all the people in the prison? Do they get released? All the fine citizens of America that are in prison? I guarantee you they will be. They won't be held. What about the people at the insane asylums? Will they just be left? The doors flung open? See ya. Good luck. They'll wander out. When you don't have the ability to babysit the evil in this country anymore, when you don't have the ability to go down to the store and get your Reese's Pieces anymore, which is my favorite candy. I eat them every day. I gotta stop. What do you do? What's your answer for that? I can tell you right now, the beginning stages, before all that bad stuff, needs to start now. Your preparations. They don't just need to come from food, water, fire, shelter, weaponry, technology. They need to come from in here. They need to come from the heart. You need to be ready to fight for your life. It could happen any moment. Do you know how many different cases I have reviewed of women leaving Walmart, going to their shopping cart, and being kidnapped? Hundreds. Or going from the store to their car, and then all of the stuff that they just bought with their hard-earned money, stolen. They didn't have a response for the violence. Take that and multiply that by an unknown vector. That is what happens when a blackout happens in this country. And I mean the blackout. Or the nuclear bomb. Or the invasion. All these doomsday-like scenarios, they're fantastical. Doomsday Preppers from Discovery Channel had a really great show that showed you a lot of people who are really insane. And I don't advise doing half the things that these people were doing for preparations because it's just fantastical and it's not really going to help you. What's going to happen is you're going to have nomadic groups of people who are going to cling together and they're going to say, hey, you're like-minded, and I'm also a criminal. Let's go take from those people. And then they're going to attract more people because the criminals are going to have the lawn chairs and the beer and cooking other people's food and, you know, driving the hot rods that they just, you know, stole from somebody at gunpoint or killed the owner for. Because at some point in America, we forgot what it meant to fight for our own stuff. We forgot what it meant to fight for our own country, for our own freedoms. That's why when 2020 happened and all these cities started to burn down, I'm yelling at my microphone, sorry. When all these cities started to burn down, you know who didn't show up for the majority of the cities? The American people didn't show up. Where were you? Where were you the day your city caught on fire? If you live in a city of 1 million people, I'm going to use Dallas for example. We probably had about, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 hoodlums came out there and pillaged and killed a few people, stole some guns, you know, swarmed trucks on the interstate and tried to kill people in it. You know, it's a city of 1 million people or more. And then there is a large civilian populace on the outskirts of it. Why didn't you people come together to stand up for your community and say no to the violence? And you're not going to do that nonviolently. We're talking about people that were throwing Molotov cocktails into stores. We're talking about people that were shooting at law enforcement or shooting at anybody. Or they were running around with melee weapons like they're in some video game. Where were the people? Where were the men? All you badass guys who walk around in the gym and you do biceps 7 times a week and you forget to hit your legs. Where did all you guys go? All you tough guy bouncers, you know, what happened? And even the veterans, where were you? There were a few groups here and there who would come out and they would combat the forces of evil, Antifa, like in Washington, like in Portland, like in parts of California and Colorado. Here in my town in Texas, we had a Black Lives Matter rally, and Antifa was going to show up, and they were going to do their shenanigans. And we had about 3,000 armed Texans show up. You know how many people came? We had like 8 people show up from Black Lives Matter. Because some people care more about the freedoms of their country than they do about their own personal safety. Those are the people that I'm speaking to. Those are the people that I want to say, continue doing what you're doing. What you're doing is not wrong. Do not listen to what this government or your politicians or some pansy preacher who's hiding behind his pulpit who didn't show up either, saying, oh, we should be nonviolent. And I'm not promoting violence, but ladies and gentlemen, when you have a crowd of people, a mob coming down your road who are burning the city down, are you just going to flee? If you flee, your house is going to burn down. You accepted that reality. But if you stay, you're either going to stay in a burned down house, or they're going to harass you or terrorize you, or you're all going to band together and you're going to push them back. There's a problem within the Christian community that I want to address. In certain sects of the Christian community, we have people that are like, oh, hey, we want to be nonviolent. No violence. You know, Jesus was nonviolent. Jesus was the lamb. But Jesus comes back as a lion. And for you people who still make Jesus out to be the lamb, you're wrong. You are very wrong. When the Lord returns as the judge of earth, he's not coming with hugs and kisses. It's going to be really bad for people. Not Christians, but for those who try to rise up and terrorize the world, you are going to answer the most severe of consequences. But until that day comes, let's talk about the other thing. Christians, it is okay to practice and apply violence as long as it is righteous. I'm not telling you to go out and terrorize people. I'm not telling you to go on a crusade. I'm not telling you to be a criminal. I'm telling you that when criminals show up and you are a coward before the eyes of God, you have sinned and you chose to do nothing. Now, if you're physically incapable, if you're of an elderly age or, you know, whatever ailment you have, it's understandable. But if you're a strong-backed young man and you bow down to tyranny, you will get what is coming to you. And I don't feel sorry for it. I would rather die on my feet than live as a coward on my knees. Hope you feel the same, because it's that way of thinking that has kept America safe. We have kept the wolves on the edge of the forest for a very long time. They won't even come to the door of America because they know what's waiting. Pissed off Americans with guns. That's the only thing that protects this country. I spoke about that recently. We have all these different types of cyber attacks that happen on the country, but we don't have any physical attacks from Russia or China or Iran or, you know, all these other groups. Now, yeah, we have some lone wolf attacks. Yeah, we have some terrorists that, you know, a couple of them will get together and unfortunately kill a few people by running them over or blowing themselves up or something as tragic as 9/11, but not something that has challenged we the people, the nation of the United States. Nobody has tried to topple the empire. Why is that? Because behind every tree and every blade of grass is going to be an American with a rifle. Not a musket, by the way, Congress. Not a flint-knap pistol. It's going to be an AR, or a semi-automatic pistol. Hey, you can use a wheel gun if you want. I do not shy away from shotguns. But we're not fighting a revolutionary war. And we don't have the Second Amendment because the whitetail invaded. It's not just for hunting or recreation. It is to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government or any other type of threat to our life. We have so many threats in this country, I can't even begin to name them all. All I can tell you is that there is a threat for every color. There is a threat for every letter of the alphabet. And then there's more growing exponentially every day. We're fixing to have a new outbreak of monkeypox and smallpox. Yay, hippie, hooray. Are you ready for that? How do you fight biowarfare? There are things you can do. There are ways that you can prepare. You can still be safe during something like that, but you have to be extremely cautious. And you need to know what you're doing. You need to know how to properly decontaminate. If you want to know anything about properly decontaminating yourself, go buy a book and read it. And then pass it to somebody else. I'm tired of hearing talk show hosts, to include myself, tell people constantly, hey, this is how you prepare yourself. This is my 1-hour show that you're kind of listening to. Grab the information and keep it, that you can pick it up at any moment of time, dust off the particles, open the page and say, oh yeah, that's how I properly decontaminate myself or my car. Now I just learned something. Isn't that interesting? I can't make you act, but I can make you think. And that is the greatest weapon that I have. It's not just this microphone. It's not my skills. It's my ability to jab my finger into your eye and make you go, ouch. Because that little pain is going to make you think, I don't want that again. Well, when the power goes out and you lose all your food and you don't have any ability to process water, you're going to go, ouch. Man, not having food and water sucks. American Vindicta, Doug Thornton. I remember he used to talk about that all the time. Too bad we can't listen to him, since, you know, we don't have any power anymore. There are hundreds of guys who are subject matter experts and gals that are out there who have said what I've said for years and years and years. I'm just regurgitating it in a little bit more of an angry voice. And I'm telling you now all these things because we've never come so close in our country to being toppled. We've never come so close in our country like now to having the dollar be devalued, or to have China finally be a superpower that can actually fight us fairly on the battleground, or Russia, or the ability for nuclear warheads to be so easily launched from one side of the world to the other and our systems not be able to knock them down out of the sky. I was listening to an Air Force general a couple years ago talking about our laser defense systems. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to miss. So 9 times out of 10, a multiple reentry vehicle carrying an unknown amount of nuclear ordnance is going to make it through our atmosphere and drop on an unknown city. That city will more than likely be a large major metropolitan city that is probably also going to be staged somewhere near a military installation, because those are targets. Those are the threats. Now, mutually assured destruction, I think it's almost taken off the table, but not really, because people are crazy. North Koreans are crazy. The Chinese are crazy. Russia kind of has this act together, but who knows, man? Those people can lose their minds at any moment. Our politicians are crazy. We could just as easily nuke somebody else. Have a plan. Practice the plan. Practice the plan with your family. Practice the plan with your friends. Share the plan with your close confidants and see if they can poke holes into that plan or see something that you're not. Now is the time, while the lights are on, while no one's running around killing each other for a sandwich, to be preparing. Take your preparations very serious. I say that so much, I get tired of saying it, but I'm going to continue to say it. From a grid down situation, to an EMP threat, to a nuclear threat, military invasion, all the way down to an active shooter at a school, or your local gunman running loose in your town, stabbing people and shooting at people, even to something as simple as a home burglary, an armed home burglary. You need to be prepared. The world is not nice. It's not all kisses and kittens out there. There are people who want to kill you. I've been doing my research over the last week over serial killers. My goodness, have I forgotten a lot. There are people out there who are more than willing to kidnap you and horrifically torture you and eat you and even make a skin suit out of you, like Ed Gein. And we still seem to think that walking around on our phones, looking at stupid videos on TikTok and not having situational awareness, we don't need guns, we're in a more advanced society and guns are for barbarians and people who don't know how to follow the law. I don't need to prepare for all this stuff. McDonald's is open 24/7. The power will come back on. You people, I wish I could live where you live. I wish I could live in this will never happen to meville. Ask all the people who have been involved in active shooters in their churches at some of the most precious, intimate places of worship. Like in San Antonio, when that crazy gunman, who's a former Air Force veteran, burst in and started to shoot at parishioners. He had an AR, he had a pistol. The guy across the street from him, who is a NRA instructor, a weapon instructor, got up in his underwear, had enough sufficient knowledge of where his gear was to quickly access his safe, grab his AR, and engage in that threat. And because of that, he saved many people. Many people still died. Because a lot of churches, we don't need guns in the church. The house of God. God will protect us no matter what. I do believe in the Lord's protection, but I don't believe in ignorance. We do not live in that world. Now, many of you may strongly disagree with what I just said. Some of you may very much agree with what I just said. We live in a day and time and society when anything can happen. Be prepared for at least a little bit of it. In this country, you can buy a pistol, keep it on your person, and protect yourself or others around you. Why would you not want to do that? Why would you want to think that, oh, no, law enforcement will save me? Law enforcement was 5 minutes away. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. It takes me, probably about 3 seconds to unload a 15-round magazine from one of my Glocks. Probably takes maybe a second more to unload a 30-round magazine from my AR. I give you 5 to 10 seconds worth of shooting, and you think someone 5 minutes away is going to come save you? By that point in time, you're going to bleed out and die, which many do, because people don't even know proper medical training in this country. They don't need it. We got EMS and we have doctors. Why do I need to know how to apply pressure on a wound? Why do I need to carry a tourniquet or something as simple as an Israeli bandage on me for a pressure dressing? Because I live in this will never happen to me world. Okay. All right. Continue to live like that, and then you'll belong to the victim society, And there's not a lot of people walking around in the victim society. Most of them are 6 feet below. Some have been cooked and eaten by the other people who live in the "this will never happen to me" world as well. You have some strange neighbors out there. Some real psychopaths. Hey, don't listen to me. Do your own research. It's a crazy world that we live in. And it's getting crazier. I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. I don't like saying that it's going to get worse, but that's just the probability. It will only get worse. Everyone, even the left, is saying, hey, looks like we're going to come into a civil war or some sort of a quote-unquote peaceful divorce within this country. Yeah, right. Peaceful divorce. You can't even go to a protest and talk to individuals of people on the right or the left and see if they come in the middle. Occasionally that happens, but not very much. One thing for sure is if you go to a MAGA rally, they're very welcoming, very accepting. Go to a leftist rally. It's like you're walking into Hot Topic or some gothic store. What a great group of people. Very pessimistic, very doom and gloom kind of people. I love being reprimanded by a congresswoman who is not even 30, who used to do wet t-shirt contests in New York and was a barmaid, and now she's a congresswoman. This same person can't even spell her whole name correctly, I'm guessing, AOC, and she's supposed to be one of our delegates, supposed to be one of the most important people in the country who's really representing the community. Yeah, right. Yeah. We're going to a break. I'm tired of running my mouth. We will see you right afterwards.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position. Really, for the first time in our history, we're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Okay, and we're back. So I want to say a quick thank you to the sponsors of this show. Without their help, I would not be doing this right now. I do owe a lot to Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle really helped me get onto this show. He's helped me in a lot of financial ways to see my way into this show and has really worked me through the loops. Another person who's helped me tremendously is Dave Hodges. We also have a show on the Common Sense Show that we do together on Wednesdays. which is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. So please check out Dave Hodges. Please check out Steve Quayle. And give our good friend Bob Griswold a call if you need any expertise on prepping. That guy will blow your socks off when it comes to prepping. And he'll probably scare you to death too. Bob is a very worldly experienced person. He has been through quite the incidents in this world, and he has a lot of knowledge, and that knowledge will save your life. He also sells a lot of stuff at his as preparedness store, so he may be able to fit some needs that you're having. So give him a call. Before we close out, I just want to say this. I'm sorry that I don't get to rock you to sleep with reading from the EMP Commission, but I still say that is something that you need to learn. But I just felt on my heart that people need to grow a spine in this country. You need to figure out where your backbone is. You need to start applying it. Start standing up for your rights. Stand up for your morals and what you believe in. Don't just sit on your phone and show me all the cool comments that you left on YouTube or some talk show and, you know, how awesome and scary and intimidating you sound and patriotic. Go out and show me. Prove it. You know, one thing that I've heard from people is, when we start to have, this takeover of the country from some sort of an external threat. Let's just use the Chinese invasion. I love to use that one. Well, we all need to grab our guns and, we need to go and meet them out on the streets. Okay, grab yours. Show me what street you're going to. Lead by example, America. Lead by example, men of America. While we still have men, until they try to outlaw being a man. How much longer until the NFL has to have bows in their hairs? How much longer until it's required for the NBA Giants to start having makeup and wearing pantyhose and tutus? Because we live in an upside-down clown world now. We might as well just start allowing that and accepting it. We need men in this country to defend this country. Some people have a problem with the word wolf. I don't. I love wolves. I fancy myself a wolf at times, and I think men need to get back to being a little more wolfish and a little less sheepish. The thing that I've learned, especially from coming out of the military and my years in law enforcement, and I know a lot of you feel this way, and you don't just have to be a first responder, and you don't just have to be prior military to see this. A lot of you guys who did combat sports, or a lot of you just, straight white males that are out there that, the left just loves to hate you. You walk around, you alpha males, and you see the sheep. You see the people who are out there bullying. You see the people who are out there taking advantage of the system. And you walk around and you say, where are all the men at? What happened? What happened to the greatest generation? What happened, back in the day when men used to hoist a dang engine out of the truck and would just start taking apart with wrenches in their hands? Where did those men go? The men who used to be able to build houses with very simple amounts of tools and just the knowledge in their head. Technology made us soft. Technology also made us irresponsible. We lean too much on the technological, and we strive so far away from the physical. I fear there's going to come a day when many of you out there, you're not going to have the physicality to protect yourself or others. And brothers and sisters of Christ, I love you. America, my heart goes out to you. I am an American. I love my country. I love the citizens of my country. Doesn't mean I have to like you, but I do love my country and my countrymen. But I don't love the state that you're in. And I'm going to be that big brother for you who says, hey, you need to quit sucking at life so bad. You need to step it up. You need to get a little mean. Rub a little dirt in your eyes. It's okay to feel pain and sweat every now and then. It's okay to go on a long run and lose your breath. It's okay to go work out to the point you have cramps. It's okay to be physically exhausted. At least you know somewhere within your body where your endurance lies. At least you can say, I did that. Have goals and accomplish those goals. Crush them. Don't just have something in mind like, hey, I'm just going to build a box and then never get to it. I mean, even something as simple as building a box, at least you can say, hey, I've learned basic carpentry skills. Never known that may be useful for you. You may even find that you like it. Takes you off of Twitter. God forbid, right? Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Doug Thornton. I'm a prior United States Marine. I was an infantryman, 0311. I deployed twice to Iraq. I worked at the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department in the correctional facility, mainly in the maximum facility. I worked at the Bureau of Prisons at FCC Beaumont, what we used to call Bloody Beaumont. I worked for the Department of Homeland Security for 10 years. Last couple years, I was on a little specialized team, and we dealt mainly with riots. I have a little bit of experience, a little bit of knowledge of what I'm talking about, and I'm here to tell you that it is okay to embrace the suck every now and then. It will help you survive. Take yourself out of the comfortable, put yourself in the miserable every now and then, and learn to adapt and overcome. Bite down on your tongue and push through. No matter what you're facing, no matter how bad it is, remember this. Left foot, right foot, repeat. Continue to walk. Continue to move forward. Don't let people tell you you can't do something. Don't let your parents or your siblings or your significant other or your coworkers tell you that you can't accomplish your dreams. I never thought I would be sitting here at my house getting paid to talk to you on a microphone. I thought I would have to work my butt off for the rest of my life and be just a part of the system. But here I am, doing what I love. I'm not getting paid nearly as much. I've taken a significant cut. But you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy with what I'm doing now. I'm happy that I'm making other people unhappy because of what I'm talking about. I'm here to help. The show airs on Global Star Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday. Please join in. This was episode 22. I'm Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. Out.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.